Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehr. Pope Francis just returned to the Vatican after his first international trip as Pope to Brazil, where he returned to his home continent and said Mass to more than a million worshipers on the beach, toured favelas, and spoke to hundreds of thousands of young Catholics on World Youth Day. The new pope speaks his mind and likes to be out among regular people, stressing out his security team by preferring to ride in regular cars rather than a closed popemobile with bulletproof glass. Here to talk about the new pope's style and what he's had to say is reporter Rocco Palmo, who analyzes the Vatican in depth at whispersintheloggia.blogspot.com. Hi, Rocco. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Anna. Thanks for having me.
Let's start by talking about exactly what the Pope had to say on his press conference on his way home from Brazil. Here's the direct quote. He said, quote, "If someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge?" Unquote. Now, he didn't say anything that diverted from Catholic teaching, but what about the tone or word choice here spoke to you?
Well, you have to remember, Anna, that, you know, I mean, usually popes come from a background in either Vatican diplomacy, and Pope Benedict's case came from a background in the academy. But Jorge Bergoglio, now the Pope, Pope Francis, has made his chops, essentially, as someone who was a leader in his religious community, as a Jesuit, someone who had to live with other people, wasn't just being sent around. And then as Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he became what they, you know, the Bishop of the Slums, or as he called himself yesterday on the plane, a street priest. So, you know, when you deal in, and it's the church always has to exist between the two poles of doctrine and pastoral practice, you know, what the teaching is, but also, you know, care for everybody. And so he's changing the, again, it's not a change of substance, but a change of that emphasis from the doctrine side to the pastoral side.
Listeners, did you follow the Pope's trip to Brazil? Give us a call if you want to talk about the new Pope and how he differs from his predecessor. Give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. What did it mean to you to hear the Pope say, "Who am I to judge?" If you're Catholic or interested in the different style of new Pope, give us a call, 212-433-9692. Rocco, I heard you wanting to break in there. What did it mean to you to hear the Pope say that? Who am I to judge?
I think, again, it was refreshing. It's amazing, though, just, again, the reaction to him, which has just been rapturous. I mean, almost overwhelmingly across the board within the church, but even from the world outside. I mean, let's face it, the Catholic Church in this country and most of Western Europe has not had the easiest 10 years, sex abuse scandals, you know, and that's been the number one thing in public perception. And really, Francis hasn't done anything of substance yet in terms of reforming the Vatican or, changing any teaching. But again, it's something that a lot of people in the Catholic Church still have to learn. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. I mean, nothing has changed in terms of substance, but the tone, and that's changed everything.
And a lot of attention has been given that he used the word gay when, and not homosexual or something more clinical. But he also talked about women and divorce on the plane in that press conference. What did he have to say on those issues?
Well, in terms of women, first off, you know, he said that it reemphasized that John Paul II, quote unquote, closed the door on the ordination of women. But he said the church at the same time, you know, woman's role in the church in the world does not end with, you know, having children, he said, and doing housework or having a child. He said that the church has not formulated a sufficient theology of women. And this is someone who, you know, says repeatedly and often gets very emotional. He talks about the role of his own grandmother in his life. He said, "If it weren't for my grandmother, I never would have learned the faith." And so he has that understanding. But even in terms of divorced and remarried Catholics, it's you know, even more than gays and lesbians, it's a huge pastoral issue, especially given the divorce rate in this country elsewhere. You know, because civilly remarried Catholics who don't have an annulment of their first marriage, their church marriage, can't receive communion. And so for many people, they feel excommunicated, marginalized. And again, one of Francis's key emphasis from the beginning has been, you know, even before he was elected pope, and he told the cardinals this before the conclave, and it got a lot of attention. He said the church has to go to the outskirts. It has to stop being shut in within its walls, and it has to go to the, what you call, the peripheries of human existence, you know, where there's suffering and there's misery. And that's the standard of how the church operates. Again, from the recent past, it's quite a shift. Again, not of substance, but of tone.
Yeah, tone. I mean, a readjustment, what you said, of not emphasizing pastoral practice a little more than doctrine, as has been done in the past. But I wonder who in the Catholic leadership will be made uncomfortable by some of the things the Pope said in this press conference. And will we hear that or not because the Pope said it?
Well, you know, somebody was asking me yesterday how the establishment is taking to this. I said, well, you can't get more establishment than the Pope,
exactly.
Even this Pope. But, you know, but at the same time, the Catholic conversation in this country, and again, you know, much of the global north, is really badly polarized. And in the States, a lot of it reflects the American political conversation, liberals and conservatives. And, you know, conservatives have been very wary of Francis, you know, and just, you know, and you see it in different ways. But, you know, it's interesting, though, going in, when Benedict resigned, obviously, first paper resignation 700 years, people were asking, well, how's the church going to exist with two popes? Is the next pope going to feel uncomfortable kind of, you know, changing course on his from his predecessor? And clearly Francis has no qualms about that, but even talked about, he said, having Benedict 16th around is like having, you know, the wise grandfather around in the Vatican. There's a lot of affection between the two, and the pope, the now retired pope, is very has apparently been very supportive of him.
Hey, we're getting some calls from Catholics. Rita in the Upper West Side, what did you make of what the Pope had to say?
Well, thanks so much for taking my call. Yes, I'm a practicing Catholic. I'm very active in my parish as a Eucharistic minister, lector, and educator. And I'm very active in our reform movement, renewal movement. And regarding women, which is one of my big issues, is the Pope, we really would like to know what Pope Francis has to say. And he clearly only said John Paul II closed the door, which he really didn't, because he never spoke infallibly, and which actually I don't even know if I believe infallibility. But we really want to know what he has to say. The other thing is, for anyone to say we need a theology of women is really strange, because we don't have a theology of men, and it speaks to the fact that there's so many centuries of really deep-seated fear of women's power, women's leadership, and it's seeped in from Greek philosophy, from Jewish practice, into our Catholic, quote-unquote, tradition. So we're a little hopeful. He left the door open a little bit, but there's tons of education to be done.
Thank you for your call, Rita. Rocco, what was the Pope saying when he said we need a theology of women?
Well, I think I think it was a way of talking about, Anna, you know, exactly what Rita was talking about, and doing more to integrate women into leadership and service in the church, but precluding the priesthood. You know, John Paul II said, and this is a statement Francis referred right back to, that the church is definitively. And it's not the Pope saying this, at least in the Catholic conception. It's 2,000 years of tradition which have dictated this. You know, there's talk in some Catholic circles about the ordination possibly of women as deacons. You know, so, but again, Francis is still getting his feet wet. You know, he was 5 months ago, he was riding around the buses and subways of Buenos Aires and getting ready to retire, because 75 is a Catholic, the church's retirement age for bishops. And now here he is with the biggest job of his life. And so, and he's essentially getting a crash course in the global church right now still. So, you know, things are really going to start heating up after the summer recess in Rome. And in late September, he meets for the first time with his 8 cardinal governing council, which is a novelty, something he just established right after his election. And they're going to start talking about the reform of the Vatican, but also even pastoral issues like divorce and remarried Catholics. The Pope said yesterday that's one of the big things on their agenda.
You mentioned a crash course in global Catholicism. Much has been made about Pope Francis's relaxed style, that he lives in a small apartment. He rode in a small Fiat instead of a limo. He flew commercial. He carried his own bag on the plane. I wonder, as you were reading the coverage of this press conference, did you see Pope Francis kind of intentionally laying out some objectives and saying, you know, I'm going to go back to the back of the plane and I'm going to make sure I say these things? Or do you think that he was more speaking freely and you know, is now kind of grappling with the consequences of what he had to say?
Well, I don't think, I really don't think, at least by and large, there are any consequences. You know, I mean, there was no departures from Catholic teaching. Again, it was a change of emphasis. But, you know, the just last week, the Pope said, well, to the press, there would normally be a Q&A with the Pope, but with Benedict, they were pretty tightly controlled, and the Pope would vet the questions in advance and pick the ones he wanted to answer. With Francis, it was no holds barred. But he said, again, even before he was elected, but he's maintained it since his election, that, you know, he said, I'd rather have a church that gets into 1,000 accidents than one that stays shut inside itself and becomes sick because of that. And he was just living up to his billing.
Gets into 1,000 accidents instead of getting sick from being closed out. What did you think of just the trip overall to South America? Do you think it was a success?
I think by any standard, it was a phenomenal success, not just for the Pope. Of course, it was the first major test for Rio, which is going to have the World Cup next year and then the Olympics in 2016, because there are a lot of safety concerns going into the week, not just for the Pope, but for the people who were coming. And initially, the crowd was expected at around 1 million before Francis was elected. This trip has been in the works for 3 years. It's the Catholic Church's Olympics World Youth Day. And the crowd, you said 1 million, ends up being 3 million. Both Saturday night at the climactic vigil on Copacabana Beach, and then 3.2 million on Sunday. A Pope hasn't had that big of a crowd in 20 years, since 5 million people turned out for John Paul II in Manila in 1995.
Wow. Jim in Brick Township, New Jersey, what did you hear the Pope saying? You have an interesting take.
I heard this morning, I believe on the BBC or NPR, that actually the Pope was asked about the gay lobby and the Vatican banking scandal, and he answered this way. It was a very clever deflection.
Yeah, so, Rocco, was this him just dodging a question about the gay lobby?
No, he actually talked about the gay. He said, and the interesting thing is because, you know, this was a comment the Pope made several months ago to a group of Latin American sisters and brothers, religious priests, so priests from orders and sisters from orders. And they just took notes, and the notes ended up leaking out, that the Pope had referred to a gay lobby in the Vatican and said, we'll have to see what we can do. But it's interesting because the reference to the gay lobby here is in terms of a priest who the Pope appointed to a position at the Vatican Bank, who critics of this priest are saying, well, he had this gay scandal in Uruguay 20 years ago, but the Pope said there's been no evidence found about it. And, you know, he talked about homosexuality in context of sin. They said, you know, if someone, you know, in whatever way, you know, straight sex, gay sex, whatever, if they sin, if they fall, we all fall, we're all human, and you go to the Lord, you repent, then, you know, we have to forget those sins. He said that St. Peter, and it's true, going back to the Gospels, Peter denied Christ 3 times on the, you know, night before his crucifixion. He said, and the Lord ends up turning around and making him Pope.
I want to also ask about economic inequality. How did the Pope talk about that while he was on this trip?
Well, it's been a significant thing, you know, for Francis even before his election, because obviously the paramount concern for the Church in Latin America is the poor and the economic inequality all through the continent. I mean, the prime symbolic moment that some people may have seen was when last Thursday when he added to his own schedule a trip to a slum in Rio. But, you know, again, he's on this trip, he mostly talked about it in terms of, well, again, you saw it in that symbolic moment and just in terms of that care. And he basically said, the church is with you, you know, and that. But on the plane back, it was interesting because 2 weeks ago, the Pope's first trip wasn't to Rio, but to a little island at the edge of Sicily called Lampedusa, which is where a lot of African migrants, it's like the Ellis Island of Europe, where they boat people arrive and seek asylum. And many people, that I think 25,000 people have died trying to make the trip over the last 15, 20 years. And the Pope decided he wanted to go. But he talked about it yesterday saying, you know, that it broke his heart, but the reason he felt like he needed to go is to express his closeness to people who, quote, are victims of the world socioeconomic system. And it's something he's talked about repeatedly, the cult of money and even wrapping a cult of money within the church, which, you know, for a lot of the old guard, the establishment we talked about earlier, has a lot of people quaking in their boots and waking up every morning thinking, oh, Lord, what's he going to say today?
What's he going to say today? Well, thank you for walking us through what he's already said, and we will keep watch on what he says next. Reporter Rocco Palmo analyzes the Vatican in depth at whispersintheloggia.blogspot.com. Thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
Anytime, Anna. Thank you.
After the break, we're going to talk about the new deal between the USTA and Flushing Meadows Corona Park. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.